We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join us on Friday. Red Friday Rally House. Will be the location in Town Center. $25 Rally House gift card giveaways every hour. You can also register to win a Mahomes replica jersey, but you have to show up to register between 6 and 10. You don't have to be there to win.
Nope.
But you have to show up. We're only taking those that show up and sign up as registrants for the chance to win a Mahomes jersey.
That's right. And somebody asked me on Twitter, Fat Mahomes actually asked me on Facebook, I should say, how many times can you enter? You can enter as many times as you want. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to win, obviously. But you do have to enter between 6 and 10 a.m. We'll draw the winner when the show is over, and we'll notify you via phone call from someone in our promotions department.
I mean, he's stand there filling out the form all four hours.
He may. I mean, what else does he have going on?
I think there's rules against stuff like that.
I don't know.
Society we're living in, Bob.
I understand. We can't just sit there
and fill out all the entry forms.
Well, those hand cramps, you know, who knows? He can stand there all day if he wants to. And you're going to be cooking hot dogs for everybody.
Right, also, I'll be out there burning wieners.
That's right. You're also going to bring a side of chili to ladle on if anybody would like some of that.
Keep adding toppings as the hours go by.
We will. And Protein House will be there with breakfast as well. If a protein shake is more your speed, right, you know, between 6 and 10 in the morning.
Other than a wiener.
Right, you can put some chili on top of that.
Top of the shake. You can chili that thing up.
Chili shake.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So come out.
I had a
bunch
of chili
Friday.
One time, and I got the chili shakes.
You did? Okay. That's kind of happens when I don't have chili. I get the chili shakes. Well, I need some chili.
So Red Friday at Rally House. Join us then on Friday at 6 a.m.
About chili, real fast. Is everybody's chili recipe the best chili recipe, too? Like, no matter how you make it, you believe yours is the best?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I like the chili we make at our house, but I don't think I would. I'm sure there's something that's better. I don't think it's the best.
You don't think it's the best?
No.
Like, anytime you ask for, like if you put it out on Facebook, like, hey, what's a good recipe for chili? Everybody, I got the best one. Like, people put peanut butter in their chili.
That's cool.
That's interesting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Peanut butter is an interesting ad.
That is a good ad.
Would you put peanut butter on the hot dog on Friday if somebody wanted peanut butter?
No. I mean, I'll put it. Well, that almost came out.
Yeah.
You can put whatever you want to on your wiener.
Okay.
I'm not going to put it on there for you.
All right. There you
and
go.
The peanut butter one, yeah. Sometimes you don't. Yeah.
It was like that peanut butter burger we had down in Memphis when you said, have the peanut butter burger, or Nashville, or wherever the hell we were, New Orleans. Have the peanut butter. I'll get it right one time. Have the peanut butter burger. It was heaven on a bun. It was fantastic.
That one in Sedalia. Really good, too.
There's a peanut butter burger in Sedalia?
Yeah.
I haven't been there. I haven't Sedalia'd much. Yeah. I got to get down there, then.
There you go.
Peanut butter burger.
Coming up at 9:15, we continue our 60th anniversary salute to the Chiefs. We're doing an interview every week involving somebody from Chiefs history.
That's right.
That was important or was around during good and bad times,
sure,
really,
yeah,
involving the Chiefs. But
talked to Herm Edwards yesterday. He'll be one of the guests later on this season. A very good conversation with Herm. Got him going. He didn't want to go to practice yesterday. He was having a good old time talking to
Chiefs. I got an email from his PR guy. He's like, hey, coach has got to go to practice.
Got to wrap this up. And Herm and I are just shooting the bull and having a good time, man. He was like, I don't know, man.
Chewing the fat, I believe.
Yeah.
We should have said that. Also a phrase we don't get to use enough.
We don't.
But former offensive coordinator Al Saunders is going to join us for the full interview coming up at 9:15. But he talks about his favorite moment in coaching the Chiefs.
You know, to name a game or something that kind of resonated with me and I'm most proud of and was probably the game that we played against Atlanta in Arrowhead Stadium.
That's one of my favorite, and, too, Al. That was a hell of a football game, man. Wow.
Well, you know, they were the number one defense in the National Football League at the time. And Jimmy Mora was their head coach, and Jimmy was my. I had when I was the head coach of the San Diego Chargers. I hired Jimmy. I gave him his first job in the National Football League as a quality control guy on defense, and I had a great deal of respect for his dad and knew Jim Senior for a lot of years. But they came in as the number one team in the National Football League on defense, the number one rushing team. And they had talked a lot before the game about how effective they were and how good their defense was. And I remember we had a fourth down situation, and it was like about midfield or something. And they went for it. And I remember saying to Dick Vermeil on the phone, I said, Coach, I said, that's the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen. I said, I hope we score 100 on these guys. And we ended up scoring 8 rushing touchdowns. Priest rushed for 8 or for 4 in the first half. And then Derek Blaylock rushed for 4 in the second half. And I think we won 56-0. I think mm-hmm. it's still an NFL record. Nobody's ever scored 8 rushing touchdowns in one game in the history of the National Football League. That game it meant so much to me, because not only did Priest Holmes have just a phenomenal game, but Derek Blaylock, who was one of my favorite players there during the time at Kansas City, had a tremendous game. And it just was the kind of the essence of Kansas City football. You know, we were really good, but nobody had to say anything about it. We just did it on the field, and it was such a great group to be around. And Priest was certainly a catalyst of us doing so well, and in under the guidance of guys like Trent Green and Tony Gonzalez, and you know, and the other guys that we had on the field that were just outstanding.
Former offensive coordinator Al Saunders about running it up on the Falcons.
I love that game. That it truly is one of my favorite games that I've seen at Arrowhead Stadium. And it was a year, I don't even know it was a year that the Chiefs made the playoffs. I mean, maybe it was 03, maybe it was 04. Obviously, it was one of those great offensive years that they had there with Al and Dick and Priest Holmes and everybody like that running around the field, like scoring at will. And I remember that game, and I remember going into that game thinking, boy, are they going to be able to stop Michael Vick? And as great as the offensive performance was that day, the defensive performance was even better, because they held Michael Vick down, and they made Michael Vick look like, you know, Matt Cassel that day. I mean, like they really, really, really had their way with him, and it was pretty impressive to see the Chiefs play that day. That might have been the best overall game that they played in the Vermeil era, just an offensive and defensive standpoint together, because as good as that offense was, we know that defense was never clicking on all cylinders here in Kansas City. And I think if they had to do it all over again, they probably would have done a better job of addressing some of those needs, you know, on the defensive side of the ball than they did.
Was this in the
news? It was. And I was thinking about it yesterday too, guys, when I was talking to Herm. I think one of Carl's biggest flaws as the general manager, and I think Carl is the most important person in Chiefs history, because he revived the franchise when it was basically left for dead back in 1988, and created the Arrowhead mystique and the magic of Arrowhead Stadium. Like that's all because of what Carl Peterson did. But I think one of Carl's biggest mistakes and one of his biggest weaknesses is he always hired guys that he knew and always hired guys that he was familiar with, instead of going outside the box a little bit. And I make that case when I think of Ryan Sims. They drafted Ryan Sims because they were friends with John Bunting, who was the head coach at North Carolina. And Ryan Sims never really amounted to anything here in Kansas City. And maybe if that pick goes a little bit different, in that pick in Kansas City, maybe we're looking at a defense that ultimately is better than what they were able to put out there on the field. But I think going back, they just didn't put enough emphasis on defense when they were here in that era. They thought they were going to outscore everybody. And you know, history does kind of repeat itself. And I don't want to see that happen in this era of Chiefs football, where you have this magical offense and your defense just isn't up to the level that it needs to be to come up with a big play when you need them to.
They scored 56 that week against the Falcons. This was the 2004 season. They put up 45 another week. 49 another week, 45 another week. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a 7-9 team.
That was a 7-9 team. Yeah. They were 7-9 that year.
Scored,
yeah, absolutely.
Four times over 40 points,
right,
and had the NFL record 8 touchdown rushing game.
And they couldn't figure out ways to
and
win.
And they were 7-9. Ooh. Crazy.
Yeah. 7-9 that year. That was a very underachieving team coming off that 13-3 record. That was a very, very underachieving team.
So we'll hear more from Al Saunders, the full interview coming up at 9:15. He'll join us today, part of the our 60th anniversary series that we're doing involving the Chiefs this season. So the other guys, the team is coming in this week. They're number one. Yeah. They're number one.
Huh.
Not us. They're number one. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Chiefs and Ravens coming up on Sunday. It's the home opener for the Chiefs. Both teams off to 2-0 starts. And through, this one's already setting up to be big, Fesco, because we're going to see the number one offense in the NFL.
Yeah, well, we see that every week.
At Arrowhead coming up on Sunday. The number one offense in the NFL. They're averaging 541.5 yards per game.
Wow, we're doing better than I thought.
In the NFL, 41 points per game. I'm talking about the Ravens.
What? I'm sorry, what?
The Ravens are the number one NFL offense.
When did this happen?
After week two, through 2 weeks. They are number one. They are number one in rushing.
Right.
200 and almost 224 yards per game on the ground. Number one in time of possession.
I don't like that.
Yeah, right. Which as a team, like, you love being in that category, right? You hold on to the football and you put up a bunch of number one in points per game.
Uh-huh.
Number one in yards per game.
Oh boy.
So the number one offense in the NFL will be playing at Arrowhead on Sunday, and it's not the Chiefs.
Good stuff.
Maybe just for a week. We'll see if it transpires anything more than that. But the two quarterbacks are off to fantastic starts. Obviously, no regression for Patrick Mahomes, right?
Right.
71.4 completion percentage, mm-hmm. 7 touchdowns, 136.3 passer rating.
That's really good.
Lamar Jackson.
He's better. This is insane,
off to a
right?
better start.
It's crazy. Not bad for a running back, right?
Yeah. He's 71.9% completion percentage.
Right. High percentage passes they're giving him, Josh. So they're not making him throw balls that Patrick Mahomes is throwing.
7 touchdowns, matching Mahomes.
Right.
And his passer rating about 10 points higher.
Right.
145.2. This from NFL Research. At NFL Research, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, the only quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era to have 70% completion percentage, 7-plus passing touchdowns, and 0 interceptions over the first 2 games of a season.
Yeah, that's pretty darn impressive.
So the two hottest quarterbacks ever to start a season
right.
will go head-to-head at Arrowhead on Sunday.
Now, one of those games was against the Miami Dolphins, and so that really doesn't count. Now, you could say the same thing about Patrick. He played against Jacksonville and Oakland. It wasn't exactly like he was playing world beaters in the first 2 weeks of the season, so Baltimore is probably making that case as well. But we're going to talk to Ian Eagle, who's calling the game for CBS coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, and one of my questions for him is just Lamar versus Pat. How fired up are you to call this game? Because, like, Ian Eagle's got the game of the week. I you know, you can look at any other game that's taking place in the NFL this weekend. This is where all the eyeballs are going to be. It's the number one game for CBS because it is the best matchup of the weekend. I mean, you got the Patriots and Jets. Nobody cares about that matchup right now. But the Ravens and the Chiefs, the Ravens are kind of that outlier team. Like, if you're looking for that potential third team that can crash the party of the Patriots and Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens may be it. And they're kind of, to me, right now, a peripheral third team until they show that they can actually beat somebody that truly matters. We'll see what happens. If they go into Arrowhead on Sunday and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, then I think people's impressions of everything are going to change. People are going to start looking at the Baltimore Ravens and go, well, wait a second here. That's a pretty darn good football team right now. Maybe we're not giving them the due that we need to give the Baltimore Ravens. And so we'll talk more about it with Ian Eagle coming up at 8 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio. I want to find out if it's just 2 games of the season against not great opponents or if the Baltimore Ravens are legit, because they were pretty good last year. They almost beat the Chiefs here last year,
right? Gave the Chiefs everything they could handle last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, it should be a fun football game to watch. I'm excited to go out there on Sunday and see these two teams match up and really to see kind of this quarterback matchup in person. But you beat the Dolphins, you beat the Cardinals. It's not exactly like you went out there and took care of business, right?
Yeah, let's settle down, though. And Carrington pointed this out yesterday. We were talking to him yesterday. He said Lamar Jackson's only lost one game.
As a starter.
As a starter.
Yeah,
he's only lost one game as a starter. And it was to the Chiefs, and it took a crazy 4th-and-9 conversion in overtime for you to do that.
Now, they did lose in the playoffs, I mean, obviously. So if you want to just count regular season, yes, then it is just one game. But obviously they lost a postseason game as well. But I think, man, I think it's going to be a lot closer than we think right now for this football game. I think this is going to come down to probably the fourth quarter. It may even come down to, hell, who has the ball last? I don't know, man, because it did last time. I mean, that's what it came down to last time. And they went to overtime, if I'm not mistaken, right? The last time these two teams met up, And I know just from, you know, doing the Priest Holmes roast a couple of days afterwards, the Baltimore Ravens were hoping to get back here for the playoffs because they wanted to exact revenge on the Kansas City Chiefs. They felt like they could have beaten them. And so if they continue with that mindset that they feel like, hey, we should have beat them last time, we're going to beat them this time, it could turn into a very entertaining
game. Governor of Maryland talking smack or something
like that? No, it was the owner, wasn't it? It was like one of the higher ups in the organization.
That's right.
Find that cut.
Teddy Biscotti or whatever his name was.
No, that's a cookie.
Steve Bisciotti.
Yeah. Teddy Biscotti,
wasn't it?
He's the GM.
Wasn't it him that was?
No.
The other thing's a delicious cookie.
Teddy Biscotti played for the Patriots all those years and now is on ESPN.
That's Brewski.
No, that's a beer.
Okay, we're really.
No, but I thought it was him, whatever his name was. Bisciotti.
No, it wasn't Bisciotti. Oh, okay. It was some guy from the front office.
Oh, all right. By the way, they're also second right now, the Ravens in defense through 2 weeks. But again, you mentioned that the two teams they played were.
Right.
So
but
some of those numbers
the Chiefs
are skewed.
Haven't played
it was the
numbers,
Ravens president, Kevin Byrne.
There it is. Do we have that audio?
This was from that Priest Holmes roast. And he had sent in like a video message to Priest Holmes.
Right.
Remember last Sunday. That 4th-and-9 completion by Patrick Mahomes in the last minute of regulation play. Wow, what a great play. Maybe we'll find a way to get into the playoffs and meet the Chiefs again. We hope so.
So there it is. This is probably their Super Bowl. This is probably their Super Bowl, and they're looking forward to this.
I don't think this is their Super Bowl.
You don't think so? We're going to have a guy from Baltimore on tomorrow. We'll ask him. It may be, though.
I think this is their week 3.
It may be. This may be the game that they're gearing up for. Like, we've got to beat this team if we expect to be taken seriously. Because I don't think right now, in the AFC, anybody is being taken seriously other than the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs, and rightfully so. Much like we can't crown the Chiefs until they beat the Patriots, I don't think anybody can crown the Baltimore Ravens until they go out there and beat the Chiefs. And once you beat that team ahead of you, that's when you start getting all the respect in the world. And if the Chiefs can go out in Week 14 and knock off the New England Patriots, then they'll be the class of the AFC, and everybody will be talking about
them.
I know
that they played the Cardinals last week. Look, the Dolphins I'm not going to give you, but the Cardinals last week, their defense did look pretty good. Like, it looked better than the Chiefs' defense has looked this year. So, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, I'm going to crown them because they beat the Cardinals last week, but if the Cardinals' defense, or if they were able to do that against the Cardinals' defense, I can only assume that they will be able to cut through the Chiefs' defense fairly well. Throwing that out there.
You just shrugged your
shoulders. Just throwing that out there.
You shrugged your shoulders like, nah.
I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll see. I think the Chiefs' defense is tired of being beaten down and everybody saying they suck. They gave up 10 points last week. We're not talking about it.
They gave up 10 points to the Raiders.
Yeah, but so what? They gave up 10
points.
They did
shut them down for three quarters after that.
They did. I mean, we're not talking about the 2004 Chiefs' defense or the 2003 Chiefs' defense.
They're middle of the pack right now,
they're like
statistically 16th. Speaking,
isn't that what we wanted? Didn't we say, hey, just give me something in the 20s? Well, they're in the middle of the pack. They're like 16th right now in the NFL. So,
you don't honestly think right now, if it stays exactly the same way and they continue playing the exact same way, that through
16 games.
We're
not going to be fearful. Yeah.
This is a good test this week, obviously. We'll see where they are after this week is over. Sunday about 4 o'clock, we'll have more of an idea of where this Chiefs defense is and what they're going to be for the rest of the season. I think when they face a good team, this is going to be a very good test for them. No question about it. Lamar Jackson is playing great football right now. And just because he hasn't beaten anybody doesn't mean he doesn't develop that confidence. They believe they could have won here last season and beaten the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead. They firmly believe that was their game and they screwed that thing up. They're going to have a ton of confidence coming in, more so maybe than anybody coming into Arrowhead Stadium this side of the New England Patriots.
Doesn't feel like any type of gimme that you'd want to have for a home.
No, God, no. They're going to win, but I don't think it's a gimme type of game.
He's Lamar Jackson's answering questions, whether or not he could play.
Right.
You almost feel like it's gotten to the point, like, enough.
Yeah, the guy can play.
He maybe does it a little bit differently. He's not going to be your prototypical pocket passer. He makes plays with his feet.
Right.
He's got more rushing yards. He's also got more rushing yards than anybody on the Chiefs.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, like running backs.
Right.
He's got more rushing yards. He's off to a fantastic start. And so are the Ravens, and they're really good again statistically through 2 weeks. I get it. It's only 2 weeks. It's about who you've matched up with. But yes, the number one offense and the number two ranked defense coming to Arrowhead on Sunday.
And if the Chiefs put a beat down on these suckers, then look out, man. Like, if they win this thing 55-10, good luck, New England.
Oh.
a transient property.
Not only does it invalidate Baltimore, but it also validates that Chiefs against the Patriots.
That's right.
Wow, there's a lot on the line for this game.
A ton on the line for this
game. Maybe it is the Super Bowl.
This is kind of a must-win.
Is it a must-win for the Chiefs?
Every game's a must-win in the NFL. Your home opener is a must-win, though. You don't want to go out there and lay a turd.
It's kind of a must-win. All right.
Somebody did do that, though. Like, went out there and laid a turd.
Literally laid a turd, yeah.
I've seen that happen. There was a horse in the field.
Yeah, that's right. One time he did do that.
And it's probably done that at Arrowhead before, too, but... That has happened. 913-576-7610. If you've seen a turd on the field, if you know yesterday's player of the game that Cody gave you on the postgame show for a shot at Topper's Pizza, 913-576-7610.
Stiffens.
Fesco in the morning.
Time now for the player of the game, brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, four generations of distinctive jewelry. Cody gave you a player of the game on the post-game show last night. Lock that into the old memory banks. Call us at 7:45 the next day. Tell us who it is, and you walk away with $25 to Topper's Pizza. You get it wrong, and, well, it just rolls over to the next day, keeps rolling over until someone wins, and each winner going to get qualified for the grand prize, a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry at the end of the month. Jacob is in KCK. Jacob, who was the player of the game Cody gave you last night?
Jorge Soler.
Always a good guess.
Jorge Soler, always a fine guess, but an inaccurate one today. Jorge Lopez, your player of the game last night. Jorge turning in a pretty good pitching performance. 6 innings, 2 runs. On 4 hits, but the Royals drop game 2 to the A's 2-1. The rubber match this afternoon. Danny Duffy will get the ball opposite former Royal homer Bailey. Cody will have pregame for you at 1:30.
So Cody went with the all you gave him was a sack fly.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Both runs coming off Lopez in the 7th, and Royals losing to the A's 2-1. The daytime finale, as Ryan mentioned today.
Good enough outing today or yesterday for Lopez to get the win. The offense just wasn't there for the Royals. But, man, you pitch into the 7th inning and only give up 2 runs. That's a pretty nice outing, especially for a guy who's been kind of up and down all year long, you know, for the Kansas City Royals. So I'm glad he got a good outing as the against a good team, too. He didn't get a good outing against a bad team. So
you don't have to stay up late tonight to find out the player of the game, though.
That's right.
You find it out about around, what, 4:30-ish, somewhere in that ballpark?
No, the game doesn't start till 2:30.
Oh, it's 2:30 game.
Yeah, 2:30, 3:30, 4:35, around 6 o'clock today, probably you'll find that out.
Right when you're sitting down for supper.
That's right. You got to have yourself some dinner and on a Wednesday.
The transistor's on, and you're having supper.
That's right. Listening to the docile tones of Denny Matthews coming from your kitchen window, transistor radio.
Companion right before that.
I like that. There you go. Nicely done.
You can get that Ovaltine keyword.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Get that keyword and use your secret Dakota ring to call in tomorrow.
Yeah. However you do it, just do it. That's
good
all.
Stuff.
Trez Paylor, Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, dropping by the drive yesterday to discuss Jalen Ramsey.
I think the Chiefs are going to continue to monitor the quarterback situation. I don't expect a hard push for Ramsey. At this point, the Chiefs have a lot of cap space, but they also have to pay Mahomes, and I think they want to try to get something done with Chris Jones. I think that Ramsey's a player who, based on talent alone and value at his age, is worth 2 first-round picks as well. We'll see if that's what he ends up getting. If he doesn't get that, it's because teams have concern about his fit in the locker room. It's my understanding that despite the way this thing is twisted and turned for the last 7 hours, I'm not changing any of that. Like, I think that's all locked in. I think that's where we're at right now.
So that's exactly what I'm hearing as well from people close to the situation, is that the player they love, and there's no debating the player, man. Like, there's no debating that this guy is a good football player, except if you ask Sammy Watkins, who torched him in week 1. But I think ultimately
best available corner.
Yeah,
like the old that we do normally in the draft. Right?
Sure.
The best available corner.
And he is
Jalen Ramsey.
And he is. And I mean, there's no doubting that. I mean, everybody has a bad day at work, but Jalen Ramsey is not in Kansas City because they don't believe he can play football. He's not currently in Kansas City right now because of the other stuff, because of the locker room stuff. And they've dealt with, you know, as we've said before, guys like Jalen Ramsey. His name was Marcus Peters. They ended up trading him away. They just don't want to bring the drama into their locker room, and they know there's going to be drama there because at the end of the season, then he only has 1 year remaining on his contract, and you know he's going to hold out. He's going to put up a stink, and they've got to take care of Patrick Mahomes. They've got to take care of Chris Jones, and they're not going to have the money available to make him the highest paid defensive back. So you're dealing with all of that. And right now they love their locker room. I've been told by a number of different people, we love the locker room that's here right now. And they just don't want to upset that. And so the difference is we don't care about the locker room as fans, right? We just want to see the team go out and win football games. And we believe that Jalen Ramsey as a football player helps the Chiefs become better. And he does become better.
Absolutely does.
He does.
One of, if not the best cornerbacks in all of the National Football League. But I think that what you're saying is right.
They're not interested right now.
I mean, what you're saying is accurate, Bob. I get exactly what you're saying. But yesterday when we talked to Danen has said this on several occasions, you know, like that he made it to the AFC Championship game in his rookie season. He thought he was always going to be in the playoffs. Never made it back. Like, when you have the opportunity to strike, you have to absolutely take it because you don't know when it'll come back again. You've talked about it. You have to enjoy the ride.
You don't know
how often it'll be. Like, right now, it's pretty clear that the Chiefs are one of the two best teams in the AFC. It was pretty clear coming into the season, but now that you've seen some of the things kind of play out, it's abundantly clear. Like, you are one of the two best teams in the AFC. You have to counterpunch when teams like the New England Patriots go out and get guys like Antonio Brown. I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying sacrifice the future and all of these things, but I think that at some point you also have to take into consideration that this is that move that could put you over the top. Hell, we heard Terrez Paylor say it's like adding Deion Sanders to the 94 Niners. Deion Sanders. Yeah. So, like, if that's the move that puts you over the hump, I'm for it. I'm 100% for it because, again, you don't know when you're going to have these opportunities. You believe that over the next decade or so, as Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, that you'll have an opportunity every season to do it. I think people in Green Bay felt that way about Aaron Rodgers, and that hasn't panned out.
No, it really hasn't, and that's a very good point, Ryan. I mean, you know, just because Patrick Mahomes is great right now doesn't guarantee you anything. Like you said, Aaron Rodgers, I think when his career is done, if it ended today, there would be a yeah, but with Aaron Rodgers. He only won the one Super Bowl, man. Like, he had all that talent. He only won one Super Bowl. That's kind of – and that nowadays, that's underachieving for a superstar quarterback, right? But what if they believe that it makes the team as an overall team worse by adding him into the locker room? What if they just believe from like, player-wise, great, but personality-wise, it just isn't going to fit and it isn't going to be a fit for them? And it makes them worse because sometimes you add people into the mix in any situation that they just don't fit.
I just wonder if they saw a little bit of that sideline conversation last week and go, seen this before.
But this is,
know what I mean?
This has kind of been their MO since August, though. I mean, when the initial rumors came up of trading Tyreek Hill for Jalen Ramsey, the initial response that I heard from people that know things was that, look, no, we really don't want that guy in Kansas City. We've dealt with that guy before in Marcus Peters. Like, they dealt Marcus Peters away, not because he wasn't a good football player, because they didn't want to deal with Marcus Peters was anymore.
I'm just so tired of the team in general being scared to do those sorts of things, Bob.
Call the front office, Ryan, and tell them that. Don't tell me that.
I feel like this might actually reach a few more people.
This will get further up the chain.
That's the way I look at it is this.
But what I'm telling you, you're preaching to the wrong people here. I'm with you. Like, as a player, add the guy in. But they don't want to.
But I think that's ridiculous to go in scared because of those things. Like, if you're scared because of that, then you're never going to succeed. Because let's face it, the Patriots wouldn't be sitting here questioning about the character. They go about it when it comes to on the field. That's football first, right? It's football first. Jalen Ramsey puts you over the hump to win this, right? And look, I don't think any of us, Brett Veach, Andy Reid, Jalen Ramsey, you, me, any of the fans out there, no one can say conclusively that Jalen Ramsey will be a disruption in the locker room. But I can say conclusively that he is one of the best cornerbacks in the National Football League, and he will vastly improve your defense.
I'm less worried about that than I am I don't want to pay him a long-term contract.
That's part of it, too, because they feel if they're going to give up, say, two first-round draft picks or draft capital for this guy, they want to have him back.
I feel like he'll be fine in the locker room.
But not really. Like
he's not going to get in a sideline altercation with Andy Reid.
I bet if he decided like he didn't want a new contract, like I think that's part of the deal as well. Like, if you're going to trade for this guy, you're probably going to have that contract worked out ahead of time. Make that trade, or he won't agree to it.
Right. Well, and you keep hearing that too. Like, it's gonna cost you a lot because you're going to have to pay a contract.
Right.
Well, okay. Then that's what would put me out. I want him, and I want him for 14 games. And if he wants to hold out and do
You can do that.
17 games.
Well, whatever. I want the rest of the season. I wanted the rest of the regular season and then through the playoffs. And then after that, you want to go get money? Fine. It's not going to be here.
Right.
But I understand that deal won't work that way, which what puts me in the camp of, well, then it's not going to work.
Right.
It's not going to work for me, and it's not going to work for you. I think my ideal situation is a complete rent-a player.
Yeah.
I want him for the remainder of this season.
But I think if he's going to agree to a trade, it's going to be on the basis of getting a new long-term contract. I believe that's part of it as well. And, you know, you probably don't like what I'm saying, right? But I'm just giving you what being told.
Absolutely.
People want to argue and debate this. I'm just telling you. I'm just giving the information. I'm giving the why. People want to know why he isn't a member of the Chiefs. They don't like the way he acts, and they also don't want to get into a long-term contract with this guy when you have to pay Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones. So you've got two big things hanging out there right now that they're looking at, and they're saying, We had a guy like this, and we traded him to the Rams, and now he's going to want to get paid before we have to make the trade, and we don't want to do that because we've got other guys that need to get paid as well.
Yeah, I'm just worried more about that. More important. Because I'm not looking for the highest paid corner. I'm looking for a mercenary corner to win a Super Bowl this year. And he might not be that fit.
And he may not be that fit because if in order for Jalen Ramsey to say, yes, I'm going to Kansas City, he's going to have his agent probably work out a new deal with the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are like, we got a quarterback and a defensive lineman that are taking precedent over this. We don't want to commit to you until we're done with these guys and we know where we stand. And I think right now, you know, Jalen Ramsey wants to – the man has wanted to get paid for the last 2 years. The man wanted to get paid when he was done with his first season in the NFL, which, fine, I agree. You're a great player. But it's always been about the money with Jalen Ramsey. And the Chiefs right now are like, we don't have that money because we got to pay these other two players that are kind of important.
Oh, that Brinks truck that was about money?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just like a cool ride. Look at this. No. Not everybody gets to drive a truck like this.
Right.
Oh, that had to do with money.
It had to do with money.
Oh, right. I'm 100% fine going out and getting a proven corner. Like, that's one of the hardest things to find in the
National
Football
League. Nobody's saying we're against that.
Right. But, I mean, if it comes down to between signing him or Chris Jones, I'm down for signing Jalen Ramsey.
What if Entercom came to you and said, Ryan, here's what we're going to do. We're going to trade you to Buffalo. And you go, okay, I'll go to Buffalo, but you're going to have to double my salary and commit to me for 5 years. And they say, no, we're not doing that. We're just trading you to the end of the year. Are you going to accept that?
I mean, what do I have another choice?
Yeah, you do. Just stay where you are and make half the salary. Or go someplace for a couple of weeks and make the same amount of money.
Well, we don't have time for this. But
I could also win a Super Bowl there, right?
Why
get that bonus for winning the Super
Bowl. Why does he have all the say?
The player?
Yeah. I mean, we could make him do whatever. If you're the team, you can make him do whatever you want.
You could, yeah.
Right?
You could.
All right, just checking. It doesn't seem like that's the case anymore.
Yeah. I mean, if I could go to Buffalo and win a Super Bowl but still make the same amount of money, yeah, I think I might do it.
He's got the game of the week in the NFL.
Again, players don't care as much about winning that ring as you do, brother.
Ian Eagle of CBS drops by next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.